Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today's show is going to be an awesome show for you because we're going to cover a lot of things that you need to know with regards to mortgage lending. And I will tell you this up front, mortgage lending is a very, very important component of what you will do as a real estate investor, as you start to transition your life from where you're at now to a place of retirement and then transitioning into whatever your lifestyle should be. It's a great journey. And to kick off this journey, what I'm going to do is tell you a little story about somebody that I met back in 2017. See, in 2017, my son Jonathan and I, we became members of Lifestyles Unlimited. And after we went through the two-day training and learned all the different pieces of the map to financial freedom, both on the single family and the multifamily space, we kind of devised a plan. Well, as part of our membership, we attend events with other members. And I was at a case study event not too long after we joined, and we were looking at the possibilities for single family investment as well as multifamily investment. Well, at that time, I had owned some real estate that I had bought a long time ago, and I had bought incorrectly. And what I was doing at that point was fixing everything that went wrong and positioning those assets so that I could sell those assets to a 1031 exchange and acquire replacement assets. It's one of the concepts that we pursued. So let me get back to 2017. At that case study event, I started to build the members of my team. And even though I wasn't 100% sure what direction I wanted to go in, I knew I had to create relationships with people that were going to help me along this journey. That's part of building the team. And I remember meeting Chad and Rich from AMP Lending. And we started talking a little bit about, you know, what do you guys do? What can you do to help me? And they told me in no uncertain terms that they were there to provide a mortgage solution for me, regardless of what I needed. Now, of course, I was still formulating all my plans, but here's the thing. In 2020, when I sold those duplexes, I already had a built-in relationship with a mortgage broker who found me great terms, the great loans, got everything handled for me, made the process extremely easy for me, and I was able to transition into new properties. So what I'm going to do for you today is I'm going to bring a part of the AMP Lending's team onto the show. We're going to talk with Chad Roten. And Chad is one of those guys that I know by name. I know him by sight. And even though back in 2017, I was not in a position to do anything financially, Chad was still there in 2020. And when you create relationships like that, it's a wonderful thing. So what I want to do is welcome to the show, Chad Roten of AMP Lending. Now, Chad, I got to apologize if I butchered your last name because I just call you Chad. I never use your last name.
It was Roten. You pronounced that perfectly.
All right. Well, I got something right today. So, Chad, you work with a lot of Lifestyles Unlimited members. I mean, you know, you're one of those go-to entities on our vendor list that provides solutions for us. There are people listening to us right now that are not at the point of learning the journey, learning the map to financial freedom. They're still maybe kind of trying to do this on their own. So what I'd like to do is kind of get into the nitty-gritty of things that people need to know right up front if they're going to invest in real estate. So I'm just going to start off with this question. Why should they talk to you first as opposed to doing anything else?
That's a great question, Al, and I definitely appreciate you having me on today. Important to talk to a conventional lender such as myself from the get-go because that is kind of your starting point of being able to leverage banks' money. You need to make sure that you're in a position to qualify for the financing you're looking for to help you build your portfolio of investment properties. And I'm the guy that can help you out with that. I'm going to take a look at your overall financial situation, where you're at in terms of credit, where you're at in terms of income, your debt-to-income ratio comes into play, what kind of money you've got in the bank, what kind of reserves you have. From a lending standpoint, we look at qualifying potential clients from, I call it the four C's. You're going to look at it from a standpoint of, and I'll get into them individually. I'm just going to ramble them off real quick. The four C's that we're going to look at is going to be credit, capacity, capital, and collateral. The credit piece is going to be your credit score. You're going to have not only a qualifying credit score, but we're all going to also going to look at your overall monthly debts that are reporting to your credit in order to qualify for, you know, conventional type mortgage. Minimum credit score technically is 620, but when you're looking at investment properties to get that tier one pricing you're looking for with the best rates, best terms, you really need to try to shoot to be above that 740 mark. The capacity is your ability to repay. That's going to be your income versus your monthly debts. We're going to take a look at what you're earning on a monthly basis, gross income, so it's before taxes, and we're going to look at your overall monthly debts, your Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac maximum debt-to-income ratio. And what a debt-to-income ratio is you're going to take your overall monthly debts, including the house that you're buying, your present housing expense, which is either the money you're paying to rent a place you're living in, or if it's a house you own, your mortgage payment, including taxes and insurance. And then we're going to take into account all of your minimum payments that are reporting to your credit bureau. We're going to divide that by your total monthly income, and that income cannot exceed 50%. Now, if your credit's not tier one and you don't have some compensating factors, you may be limited to a little bit lower debt-to-income ratio. But the
hold that thought, Chad. We're getting ready to go to break, and when we come back, we'll finish up those four C's.
Dell Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some dollars a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I'm going to open up the call lines because I want to give you the opportunity to talk with Chad. If you have any mortgage related question with regards to being an investor, or maybe if it's, you know, just about something regarding your own personal property, maybe you have a ton of equity in your home and you want to figure out how you can tap into that, give us a call at 855-497-4335. Again, that number 855-497-4335. Hey, and also if you can't call in, or you're hearing the show maybe on a podcast or a time delay, you can always send me an email at askal@luinc.com. And if you really want to ask Chad a question, you can just say, hey, this is for Chad, and I'll make sure he gets it. So Chad, there's something very important that I failed to do.
What's that?
Wish you a very happy birthday. I mean, you know, it's to me, it's really cool that on your 40th birthday, I just gave away your age. You're hanging out with me, you're being a part of the team, and you're helping to educate other people on things that they need to know so that they can change the direction of their lives. So you were talking about the four C's with regards to lending as an investor. Go ahead and pick it back up on the capacity thing, if you will.
Yeah, so I was on capacity. Capacity is, and thanks again, Al, for having me on. I couldn't have asked for a better birthday present, so thanks again for having me on the air. Capacity is your ability to repay. You're going to look at your overall monthly gross income versus your debts. We're going to take your total debts, just minimum payments that are reporting to the credit bureaus, including all of your any property you own, including taxes and insurance on any properties owned. We're going to divide that by your total gross monthly income, and that figure is not going to be able to exceed 50%. Like I said a little bit briefly before the break, you know, depending on credit situation and other compensating factors, we may be limited to a little bit lower of a debt-to-income ratio, but 50% is the absolute max. So when we're going through the pre-approval process, I'm going to review your income documentation. If you're a, you know, straight W-2 type employee, I'm going to look at your base salary. If you've been on the job for several years, I'll be able to use, you know, some bonus income and commission income if that's something you receive. But typically anything in addition to your base salary, you're going to have a two-year history of in order to use, and we're going to take essentially a two-year average. That is the second C. Third C we're getting into is going to be capital. Capital is money available, money in the bank that you can use to put down on these properties, cover down payments, closing costs, et cetera, and also meet the reserve requirement that Fannie Mae has. The reserve requirement is it changes as you acquire more properties. When you have 1 to 4 financed properties, which includes your primary residence, when you've got 1 to 4 houses that you have mortgages on, you're going to need to have, after you meet all of your down payment and out-of-pocket cost of acquiring the property, you're going to need to have 6 months of house payments on the subject property, which is the property we're doing the loan on. That includes taxes and insurance. So if you don't escrow your taxes and insurance, you'll need to account for taxes and insurance as well. In addition to that, you're going to need 2% of the unpaid principal balance on the rest of your investment properties. The primary residence can be excluded from that equation, but you're going to need 2% of the unpaid principal balance on the rest of your financed investment properties. Once you're on to having 5 to 6 finance properties, the 6 months requirement for the subject property remains, but that 2% of the unpaid principal balance on the rest of your investment properties becomes 4%. Once you get to property 7 through 10, which 10 is the maximum amount of finance properties that Fannie Mae allows for, that 4% becomes 6%. Now, your capital can come in various, you know, accounts. It can come from your, you know, cash on hand, checking, savings, money market type accounts. We can also use 401k, IRA retirement accounts. As long as we can document that you are able to access that money prior to retirement, we are able to use that to meet your reserve requirement. You're going to be limited to, I believe, 60% of the vested balance on those retirement accounts prior to retirement age. So that's really about it for capital. Collateral is the property itself. The property that you're buying, your loan amount's going to be based on the appraised value of the house. If it's a purchase transaction, the loan to value is going to be based on the lower of the sales price and the appraised value. In addition to meeting, you know, looking at the value of the house, that we're also going to have to, for conventional financing, make sure the house is in good enough shape to go conventional. What I mean by that is the house can't have a bunch of rehab that needs to be done to it. It can't have issues with foundation, can't have roof issues, really can't have anything major wrong with the house, you know, cosmetic stuff. If it's got pink carpet in it, you just don't like the carpet, or, you know, you need to paint the walls, that's okay. But there's, you know, the house has to be in decent shape for conventional financing. If it's not, then it's going to be a property that you're going to go, you know, hard money on first to finance the repairs, and then you're going to come back to a conventional lender to get in your long-term 30-year type note.
Wow, that's a mouthful, Chad. But you make all that easy, right?
I've said that probably 1,000 times I've been through that, so it kind of just comes out second nature.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway is that you know, you provide a great service to our members. And, you know, you're amongst a big pool of quality vendors that we have that provide these services. So, I'm not saying that anybody has to go directly to AMP Lending. I'm just saying that AMP Lending is one of those resources that are available. And because I've used AMP Lending, I have that personal relationship with them, and I appreciate what they do. Because they take all of that complicated stuff, and then they shrink it down into something that's manageable and easy. So let's talk a little bit about maybe deal flow. And we don't have a ton of time, so maybe we'll kick it off here, and we'll pick it up in the next segment. But routinely, we have members of Lifestyles Unlimited that go out and find beat up properties that may have a value of, let's say, an after repair value of $170,000. But because the property's in bad condition, it's got a lot of deferred maintenance or whatever the issue is, that property can only trade for $100,000 in the marketplace. Is that something you could lend on at that point?
Unfortunately, that would not be something. If it needs a ton of work, that's something that you would not go conventional financing on out the gate. But the good news is we've got lenders for that in the Lifestyles Network. It's a hard money lender. The hard money lender is going to lend you money for the repair budget. Typically, hard money lenders are going to lend you either 70 or some up to 75% of what's called the after repair value. What the after repair value is you let the appraiser look at a house, you tell the appraiser, it's called a scope of work.
Hold that thought, Chad. We're going to have to pick it up after the break, but we're going to get into that hard money relationship.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So, Chad, we were kind of talking a little bit about the importance of buying property correctly. And before we went to the break, I asked you that open-ended question. How can somebody buy a house for $100,000 that needs a lot of repair that might be worth $170,000? And here's the thing that I left out. They can effectively buy that house for 11% down, but they can't do that by going directly to you and getting the money, but they should start with you. Explain why.
That's a great point, Al. So the way they're going to be able to get the house for less out of pocket than going, if there's a house that needs some work that's going to be worth, quite a bit more than the purchase price after the rehab is done, rather than coming to me and going with a straight conventional type loan out the gate where they're going to be putting the traditional 20% down, plus obviously closing costs and things of that nature, there's a product called hard money loans that will lend you the purchase price plus the rehab cost. And typically, a hard money lender is going to lend you either 70 or 75% of the after repair value, or ARV. And what that ARV is it's going to be what the house is going to be worth after you tell the appraiser what you're going to do to the house. And that what you're going to do is called your scope of work. Maybe the house needs, $20,000 worth of foundation. Maybe it needs 10 grand for a new roof. Whatever, whatever you're going to do to the house, you provide that scope of work to the hard money appraiser, and they're going to appraise the house assuming that's going to get done. it is very important to get pre-approved with myself or another conventional lender before you get into a hard money loan, because that's going to be your exit strategy. Hard money loans are short-term type loans. The idea is to get in and out of those as quickly as you can, because you're paying, you know, higher rates, higher fees than you are on the conventional side. And the reason you want to get pre-approved with myself or, you know, any conventional lender prior to going into hard money is you want to make sure that you're going to be able to get into that conventional loan. Last thing you want to do is get into a hard money loan with the idea of refinancing out once the work is complete with a conventional lender and finding out that you don't meet the qualifications to be approved. So idea is to get pre-approved with myself first. With that pre-approval, any hard money lender in the Lifestyles Network will take my pre-approval letter and they'll lend you the hard money just with my pre-approval. In addition to that, with your permission, obviously, with the client's permission, I can share, you know, any loan application, any, you know, income documentation, any bank statements, anything that's been sent to me with their permission, I can share with that hard money lender. That way it's as simple as that client replying to an email from me saying, hey, is it okay for me to share, you know, this information with the hard money lender? You tell me it's okay, and I can share everything with them. That way you don't have to go through the, you know, pre-approval process twice. You just have to go through it once with me. That way the hard money lender knows that you have an exit strategy, and they're good to go lending you the hard money.
So I'm going to relate that to a movie I saw when I was a kid. Now, you may be too young to remember this movie, but maybe you played it for your kids. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, remember that?
I do, a little bit, yep.
Yeah, so really, going to you first is like opening up that piece of chocolate and getting that golden ticket. It is your entry into everything that you need, because you've already developed relationships with all of the hard money lenders that are a part of our network. So that makes my life easy, because I know that I can take that document and say, hey, look, AMP Lending has approved me for $170,000. This is my exit strategy. Here's my business plan. Loan me the money. I mean, that's kind of what it boils down to, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. That is exactly correct.
So why is it AMP Lending doesn't get involved with hard money lending? Is there a specific purpose or reason?
Yeah. I mean, good question. We get asked that all the time, and it's really as simple as we want to try to be experts in the conventional field. We're very good in the conventional line of work, and we just want to stay in our own lane. We're not trying to branch out and be jack of all trades, so to speak. We've got, you know, Lifestyles Network has plenty of experts in the hard money field. We let them handle that piece of it, and then we take over on the conventional side. It's really as simple as that we stay plenty busy on the conventional side. We are very good at what we do on the conventional side, and just don't want to kind of want to stay in our own lane, so to speak.
Now, AMP Lending made a decision back in 2014 to join the Lifestyles Unlimited vendor program. What was driving that? What caused that relationship to occur?
It was, I mean, it's just, you know, I believe one of the LOs that was working here at the time had a relationship with one of the mentors or vendor managers at the time and got introduced to Lifestyles Unlimited, and it was a good fit because we understand the Lifestyles model. We were already kind of, you know, we were experts in the investment lending field, and it just worked out. It was a good match for us, and we've been able to maintain a great relationship with Lifestyles over the years. I believe we're 5 or 6 time vendor of the year with Lifestyles Unlimited. We understand their business model, and it just seems to work.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, because I'm actually on our vendor website right now. I just pulled up AMP Lending, because one of the things that we do as members is we kind of keep tracks on what you guys are doing as vendors, and we share information. And I'll tell you what, it's review after review after review that basically says, hey, Chad and his team, they're efficient and thorough, made the process as smooth as possible. And it's not just one review saying that. It's a lot of reviews saying that. So that relationship and those services that you provide to our organization are just valuable, and not only valuable, but they're dynamic. So let me switch gears on you a little bit, Chad, and let's talk about the concept of buying 10 homes in 10 months. I mean, is that a realistic thing? Can first-time investors actually do that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Alan. We actually have a a presentation on the Lifestyles Hub that goes into exactly that, how to acquire 10 properties in 10 months. The idea behind that is if you can qualify for your first investment property from a credit and income standpoint, you can qualify for all 10. And the reason behind that is if you qualify from a credit, and like we talked about your capacity earlier, one of the four C's, your debt-to-income ratio, as long as you qualify for that first property, your debt-to-income ratio should be unchanged as you acquire more properties, or potentially could get even better because we're able to use the rental income of the properties acquired to offset the mortgage payments. So in other words, let's say you purchase a property that's, you've got $150,000 loan on. Let's say that property is the mortgage payment, principal and interest, taxes and insurance is $1,000, and you have that property leased out for $1,500 a month. As soon as you have that property leased, I can take that lease agreement and I can use 75% of what that lease says that you're getting as income for you. So if we take $1,500, I've got a calculator on my phone because I can't do math in my head, times 75%, your rent that I can use is $1,125. So I'm actually in that situation. I've got $125 in surplus income. I can use that individual to qualify.
Yeah, there's that music. Okay, well, stick around, Chad. We'll pick up the rest of that concept. But I'll tell you what, qualify once by 10 houses. That's a good thing. Stick around.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for, a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del. People are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. Phone lines are open at 855-497-4335. Again, that number, 855-497-4335. My special guest is Chad Roten with AMP Lending. AMP Lending has been a partner with Lifestyles Unlimited for about 7 years. When I say partner, I really mean relationships, because like all the vendors that become a part of our vendor program, it creates relationships between the investors and those that provide the necessary services. And Chad is one of those guys you want to create a relationship with, because he can help you understand the financial mechanisms, because he has to work within the confines of regulations. And as a result of that, he knows what right and wrong is, and he's well equipped to advise you. So much so that we were actually starting to talk about how do you invest in 10 properties and you get that done in 10 months. And as we were going to break, Chad, I was thinking out loud in my, because that's what I do, I was thinking that there's a dollar amount associated with getting those 10 homes done. Now, let's say you can buy properties, cash out of pocket, $25,000, which is a lot less money than just going out and buying a turnkey home and putting 20% down. So my initial thought is you've got about $250,000 that you need, but then there's reserve requirements and other things. So fill in the rest of the story for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So like we were talking about earlier, the idea of acquiring 10 properties in 10 months is You can qualify for one from credit and income standpoint. You can qualify for all 10 because what we talked about before, we can use the rental income to offset. At that point, you've just got to worry about your reserve requirement, and that's something we've got to look at house by house. And the reserve requirement, as I mentioned before, changes as you acquire more properties. Once you get to 10 finance properties, that's going to have the strictest reserve requirement, which at that point, you're going to need 6 months of house payments, taxes and insurance included, on the subject property, which is the property that we're doing the loan on. And then in addition to that, you're going to need 6% of the unpaid principal balance on the rest of your financed investment properties. So just using your example, Al, let's say that we're going to buy 10 properties, or let's say we're going to you own a primary residence, so you're going to have room for 9 investment properties. $25,000 out of pocket each. So just to meet the out-of-pocket requirements, we're going to take $25,000 times 9. You're going to need $225,000 just for the out-of-pocket expense of acquiring these properties. In addition to that, once you're at your, let's say you've got your 9 properties, you're going into your 10th financed. Let's say that 10th financed property has a mortgage payment, including taxes and insurance, of $1,000 a month. You're going to need 6 times 1,000 to meet the reserve requirement of the subject property, which would be $6,000. You're going to need an additional 6% of the unpaid principal balance on the other 8 investment properties. We're excluding the primary residence from that calculation, but you're going to need 6% of the unpaid principal balance on the rest of your investment properties. Let's say each of those investment properties have a loan amount on them of $100,000, just to keep numbers simple. We can take $100,000 times 8 is $800,000 in unpaid principal balances, times 6%. So in that situation, you're going to need $48,000 to meet the reserve requirement of the other mortgages, plus $6,000 on the subject property. So you're going to need $54,000 in reserves in addition to the $225,000 you're out of pocket. So in that example, you need, you know, to acquire all 10 properties, you need $225,000 out of pocket plus the $54,000 to meet the reserve requirement. Need about $279,000. Now, keep in mind, as we mentioned earlier, that money doesn't necessarily have to be money sitting in a bank account. We can use, you know, 401k, IRA, retirement accounts. We're going to be limited, if you're not of retirement age, we're going to be limited to, I believe, 60% of the vested balance, unless Fannie has changed their guideline. It may be 70% now, but we're going to be limited to a little bit smaller than 100% of that full balance. But those retirement accounts can be used to meet the reserve requirement.
All right. Well, that answers the question, because the reality is it's absolutely doable. It is absolutely doable. And people actually have money in places that they really don't know where the money's at. It might be an equity in their home. They may have other real estate that's not performing for them that they can sell and then reposition that money. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get to the money that you need in order to execute that plan. Hey, we've got a caller, Delmar from Texas. He's got a question for you, Chad. So let's bring Delmar onto the show. Welcome to the show, Delmar.
Thank you very much. It's kind of a three different questions. The first of all is, I kind of backed into the rental market. When life hit me upside the head, I moved out of my dream home, and now I'm renting it out as opposed to, you know, selling it. And I may, you know, do that again. So I'm either a genius or I'm a fool, and I can't figure out which one it is. Is it a really good idea to do conventional owner-occupied mortgages, live in them for 2 to 5 years and then move out? Or, like you say, I'd rather not plan on selling anytime in the near future. I just wonder if there's going to be any drawbacks in doing it that way as opposed to a conventional rental type loan that has higher fees and higher interest.
Hey, Delmar, I think the question is, you've got a primary residence you live in for a few years, and then you want to turn that into an investment property and then go buy a new primary and continue to acquire properties that way. Is that correct?
That's correct. Essentially, there's no closing costs, no fees for, you know, selling a property, and instead turning it into rental under much better terms.
Yeah, so I mean, you can do that. It's got to be, it can be a little bit of a slippery slope, because if underwriting sees that you're kind of trying to trick the system, so to speak, by buying primary residents that are eventually going to be rentals, like the properties that you're moving into from primary to primary, as long as they're upgrades each time, you're probably going to be okay. What I mean by that is, if you've got a, you know, a house that's, your primary currently is, you know, 3,000 square feet, it's got 4 bedrooms, 1 bath, and then you say you're going to move into a property that's half that size as your primary and turn this other one into rental, underwriting is going to scrutinize that a little bit because they're going to say, is this guy really, I mean, is he really looking to move into this new house as a primary residence, or is he trying to trick the system to acquire rental properties with primary residence rates? As long as it makes sense, I mean, if you live in a house for several years and you're upgrading every several years and just instead of, you know, deciding to sell the property and you want to keep it as a rental, then yeah, you'd be okay. And I can use the rental income from the properties you're converting from your primary to the rental properties as qualifying income as long as we get a lease agreement in place. And then typically we'll want to see proof that your security deposit check and first month's rent check clears on the house you're renting out.
Okay.
Delmar, I want to add that make sure you're talking with your CPA about doing this, because I think part of your strategy is you want to avoid paying the capital gains taxes by using the allocation that if you live in the property for a certain amount of time over a certain period of time, it may erase all that capital gains. So just make sure you've got qualified advice from your CPA before you go too deep into the woods.
Okay, thank you. Second of all, I kind of like to use your crystal ball. You know, with the current political state of affairs and all of the stimulus, and do you see interest rates in 2 to 10 year term really skyrocketing? I mean, I grew up in the Jimmy Carter days with 18% mortgage rates. Do you feel it's going to kind of go back that direction, or do you think it's fairly stable for now?
Good point. I don't have a crystal ball. You know, all I can tell you right now is they are really at historical lows right now. They dipped down even a little bit lower than I thought I'd ever see them about 6 months or so ago, and they're kind of starting to creep back up right now. But they're still, pre-pandemic, they're at historical all-time lows. I don't think they're going to stay as low as they are right now forever. Do I think that we're going to see 18% rates? I really don't. I don't think it's going to get to that point, but our rate's going to creep up, you know, maybe into the, you know, 4, 5, 6% rate over the next several years. I think it's possible, but like I said, I don't have a crystal ball either. I would say that it's going to be tough for them to go down much more than they are right now.
Delmar, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second because we're getting to the end of the show, but don't hang up because I'm going to pick up after the show and answer that third question for you. Hey, real quick, Chad, how do we get a hold of you at Amp Lending if we have any questions about investing?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Al. So if you're looking in either the Austin or Dallas market or really anywhere else in Texas, we're also licensed in a few other states, and I'll go through those: New Mexico, Florida, California, Illinois, Tennessee, and Georgia and Louisiana. You can call me. My phone number is 512-491-1056.
And we're at the end of the show, Chad.
Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.